There are certain commands that God gives us where He tells us that we're to do something all the time, continually, without ceasing, day and night. For example, we have the command you're familiar with, rejoice evermore. Always be rejoicing. Day and night, all the time, make sure that you're finding your joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a command that we're told to do continually, constantly. Another one in that Thessalonians passage is pray, what? Without ceasing, without stopping. Never stop being God conscious. Never stop being God dependent. Pray without ceasing. Now, we have a command right here in Joshua chapter 1 that is another command that God tells you to do something all the time. Verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. All the time. Nighttime, daytime, all the time. Continually we're to meditate on God's word, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. We'd like to share together a little bit tonight about what it means to meditate on God's word. Now, verse 8 says that God's word should be a part of us, should not depart out of our mouth, and we should meditate on it day and night, throughout the day, throughout the evening, all the time, nighttime, daytime, day and night. Now, it's interesting that we're never told to read the Bible day and night, all the time. We're certainly to read God's word regularly. I have esteemed the words of thy mouth more than my necessary food, Job said. And just as we eat regular meals, we're to regularly feed on God's word for our souls. We're to desire the pure milk of the word that we might grow thereby. We're to be diligent to show ourselves approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth as a good workman. But we're not commanded to read the Bible constantly, day and night, all the time. What would you think of a person who ate all the time, continually? They just keep eating and eating and eating and eating. That would not be a healthy situation at all. Many years ago, I knew of a girl who read her Bible continuously to the point where her parents were greatly concerned. She would be in her room, shut into her room with the Bible, reading all the time, day and night. And you might say, wow, she must be on fire for the Lord. No, it was a very unhealthy situation. Come to find out later that she had gotten pregnant and had had an abortion, and she was overwhelmed with guilt. And her reading her Bible all the time was not a healthy sign. It was her wrong way of coping with her deep problems that she had never resolved God's way. So God does not command us to read the Bible all the time. We eat regular meals so that we might receive energy and nourishment to then live and function physically as we need to. And we feed on God's word so that we might be spiritually nourished so that we can live and function in a way that would please the Lord. We read God's Word so that we might then practice God's Word. And we need to spend much more time practicing the Word than reading the Word, obviously. So we're not told to read the Bible constantly, but we're told to meditate on God's Word day and night, constantly, all the time. Now, what does it mean to meditate? This Hebrew verb in verse 8 means to moan, to utter, to speak. It's even used of a lion growling over its prey. When it's used of meditating, as it is often in the Psalms, it means to talk to yourself, to speak with yourself, to muse, to reflect upon, to ponder, to think very carefully about something. It involves the turning or revolving of a subject in the mind, just turning something over in the mind again and again, thinking about it carefully again and again. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will never ever leave thee. I will never ever forsake thee. He will constantly be with me. Never will he leave me. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you were willing to be forsaken by God so that I would never be forsaken by God. Now, that's just a little phrase from a verse that you all know. And what was I doing? I was thinking about it. I was pondering it. I was letting that verse run through my mind in a thoughtful way to meditate on it, turning it over in my mind, dissecting it, talking to myself about that verse. Do you do that with verses? The word meditate means to ruminate. In other words, to think again and again about something. Literally, the word ruminate means to chew the cud. Now, if you were a cow or a camel or a lamb or a llama, then you would understand what it means to chew the cud. The cud is a mouthful of previously swallowed food, regurgitated from the first stomach, and then it is chewed slowly a second time. Cows are amazing creatures. They have almost four stomachs or four parts to their stomach. They eat some grass, swallow it, and later it comes back up in a ball, and they slowly chew it again. Glad you've all had supper tonight. I hope you have. Now, today I decided to go and visit some cows. Down in Cromwell, there's a place where I went and got out of the car and studied a few cows for about 10 minutes. And here's what I learned. They were there chewing their cud. And they seemed to do it constantly. The whole time I was there watching them, they were chewing away, chewing away. It seemed like they never stopped, day or night. Just constantly. I didn't watch them very much eating. They didn't seem to eat too much. I saw a few go down to the ground, get some grass. But most of the time, they were just chewing, chewing, chewing. And it seemed to take them forever to chew. I didn't even see them swallowing very much. They just kept chewing and chewing. Now, it's not like they chew for an hour at breakfast, and then they chew for an hour later at lunch, and then they chew for an hour later at dinner. But they are chewing all day long, ruminating, chewing the cud. Also, I notice that they take their time. They just are in no hurry, just chewing and chewing and chewing. He was watching me, and I was watching him, taking his time. Now, I think if they chewed with their mouth closed, it would be a little more polite. But they seem to open their mouth a little bit. I hope that when you chew, you close your mouth. Of course, God made cows that way, and they're doing it the right way that their Creator told them to do it. But for us, we need to be careful about that. So what does this mean to us? Now, let's say you read your Bible in the morning. You have a quiet time. Remember, better to read a few verses slowly than a whole bunch of verses quickly and hurriedly and carelessly. You read a few chapters and then wonder what you read. It's not how much of God's word goes through you that counts. Oh, I'm getting this all mixed up. It's not how much of God's word you go through that counts. It's how much of God's word goes through you that counts. So you fed on God's word in your quiet time. You swallowed it. Now as you go through your day, you need to bring it back up, as it were. You need to bring it to mind again and think about it. Bring it back and chew it some more. Ask yourself, what did I read this morning? Think about it. Was there a command to believe, to obey? Was there a promise to believe? Was there a sin to avoid? Was there an example to follow? What did I read? Because often we read the Bible in the morning and then that's the last we think about it. You need to ruminate. You need to chew the cud. You need to bring it back and think about it again and again. The same is true with the Word of God that you heard on Sunday and that you hear on Wednesday nights. Because sometimes we hear a message on Sunday and then that's the last that we think about it for all practical purposes. We forget it. That's not meditating. That's not ruminating. We need to bring it back up and think about it. I know a believer in this assembly that does that. And I won't mention any names, but whenever I see this believer on Monday, he's always talking about the message from the previous day. He's always thinking about what he heard in one of the services on Sunday. And if I were to see this believer later in the week, Thursday or whatever, he'd be thinking about what the pastor said on Wednesday night. He's meditating on that which he heard. So when we read God's word personally in our own quiet time in the morning, we need to bring it back up during the day and chew on it. When we hear God's word from the pulpit, which we do twice a week, we need to bring it back up, think about it, ask yourself, remember, talk to yourself. What did Pastor share? What does that mean to my life? How can I apply it? How can I obey the word I heard on Sunday? What point was he making? What scripture did he use? Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Let's turn to Psalm 1. This is a passage that the junior high class has been memorizing for a long time. They know these verses well. And in recent weeks, they've been coming to class and sharing what these verses really mean. Not just to say them, but what do the verses really mean? verse 1, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Let's read verse 2 together. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. His delight is in the law of the Lord. Now, there's an important principle here. Who is the person who meditates day and night? It's the person whose delight is in God's word. If there is little meditating, it's because there's little delight. The principle is this: we meditate on what we delight in. What delights your heart will fill your mind. The Lord said it this way: for where your treasure is, there shall your heart be also. Matthew 6:21. What you delight in and take pleasure in will fill your mind and your heart. For example, some people delight in and take pleasure in professional baseball. And that's what they think about. They can tell you when the next game is, and they can tell you who the pitcher will be, and what the pitcher's record is, and they can tell you their favorite players on the team, and what their batting averages are, and how many home runs they've hit. And they can tell you how many games out of first place their team is, and on and on and on it goes. What we delight in and take pleasure in, that's what we think about. If you delight in cooking, then you will think about things such as how to best prepare the meal. Recipes will come to your mind, and what ingredients to use, how to cook it properly. Now, there's nothing wrong with this. We have to think about such things if we're going to do a good job. But we're just pointing out that what we delight in, what we take pleasure in, is what we think about and what we meditate on. And we're not saying that we should never meditate on anything else except Scripture. We have to. We have to think about the things that are before us. You students need to think about your math and your science and English and give your attention to those things. The man of God delights in the Word of God. And because he delights in it, he meditates in it day and night. Look in Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and verse 97. Verse 97. Oh, how love I thy law! It is my meditation all the day, all the day long. We find the same principle there, don't we? What we really love and what we really delight in, that's what we will meditate on. That's what we will think about all the day. About 23 years ago, I used to receive a lot of love letters from a certain Anna from Indiana. She doesn't write to me anymore. But I used to get a lot of love letters back then, and that was in the days before there was email. I would have saved a lot of money if there was email back then, but we didn't have that back then. Now, when I got a love letter, first thing I would do was tear it open, pull it out, and read through the whole thing rather quickly. Read right through it, and then I'd slow down, go back over it slowly and read it very carefully, and maybe read it once or twice. And then I was pretty much done with reading the letter. Might have taken 10 minutes or whatever. But as I went through the day, I would take that letter with me up here. And I'd think about it and chew on it, and I would recall certain things that she had written. Now, the reading of that letter only took about 10 minutes, but I would meditate on that letter all the day. Now, as you know, God's word is his love letter to us, isn't it? And we need to mentally take it with us throughout the day. Oh, how love I thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Do you do that? Do you take a Bible verse with you through the day? Do you take a passage that's on your heart and mind and carry it with you all day long, thinking about it, pondering it, thanking God for what it says, seeking to be obedient to it? Lord, how can I put this to work in my life? As believers, we need to develop the habit and the art of meditating on God's word. So very important. In the same psalm, look at verse 14. Psalm 119. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. You see in verse 14, I rejoiced in it. I delight in it. I love it. Well, if you delight in it, you're going to think about it. Verse 15. You'll meditate in it. Look in verse 78. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. But I will meditate in thy word, in thy precepts. He was going through a hard time, but I'm going to meditate on your word. Verse 23. Princes also did sit and speak against me. But no matter what the opposition, thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. I'm going to think about what God said and hide it in my heart. Verse 48. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Another way to meditate on God's word is to let the events and happenings of the day remind you of God's word. And there's thousands of examples we could give. Just one simple one. Suppose that on the news you heard of someone winning the lottery jackpot. They won several million dollars. And instead of being envious and wishing it were you, you can think of Scripture. Let your manner of living be without covetousness. Let your manner of living be without the love of money. Be free from the love of money and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. You get the idea? Think about what God says about whatever it is in the news or anything you come across during the day. See it from God's point of view. If I have Christ, I don't need to win the lottery. Or suppose you're in school and you're about to take a very difficult exam. Some of you are back to school now and you'll be getting to that point soon. And you need to think of some encouraging word from God that you can meditate on at a time like that. Such as Hebrews 13:6, so that I may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what my professor will do to me. So you got the idea. Let everything around you be a reminder to you of Scripture. Fill your heart and mind with the Bible. It's so very important because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What you think about will determine what kind of person you are. Are you the kind of person whose mind and heart is immersed and baptized in God's Word? Look in Psalm 63. Psalm 63. And verse 6. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Remember, we're to meditate day and night. Here the emphasis is on night. Upon my bed. The New Testament does not use the word meditate very often. But the idea is certainly there. For example, the scripture says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Colossians 3:16. Now, if God's word is really in you richly, won't it fill your mind throughout the day? If you never think about, or if you rarely think about God's word through the day, then how could it be said that it dwells in you richly? Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and so forth. John 15:7. Do his words really abide in you? Do they really find their home in your heart and mind? If God's words are at home in your heart, shouldn't they fill your mind? Look in Psalm 77. And verse 6. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart. That's meditating. Remember, speaking to yourself. I commune with my own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Now, verse 11 of the same psalm. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate, verse 12, also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Now, notice the word, I will remember, verse 11. Remembering is the key to meditating. As you go through the day, you need to remember. You need to remember what you learned Sunday morning. You need to remember what you learned in your quiet time. You need to remember God's promises and God's commands that are in your heart. Now here in verse 12, the emphasis is not on God's word, but on God's works. We not only meditate on God's word, we can meditate on God's works. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. So not only do we remember what God has said, but we remember what our God has done for us. And we think about that. We meditate, we ponder what our great God has done for our souls. The Lord has done great things for me, whereof I am glad. Look in Psalm 143. Again, this word remember, verse 5. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I'm going to remember what God has done for me and thank him for it. Remembering is the key to meditating. Now, with that in mind, I'd like to take you to a New Testament passage that you may not think of in connection with meditating. It's in James chapter 1. It does have to do with remembering and not forgetting. James chapter 1. And verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Remember, as you're meditating on Scripture through the day, the key question is, how can I put God's word into practice? How can I do what God has told me to do? Verse 23, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face he was born with, in a mirror. For he beholds himself and goeth his way, and immediately what? Forgets what manner of man he was. Now that's kind of silly. Here the man looks in the mirror in the morning and he sees his hair all messed up. He sees dirt all over his face. He sees an ugly stubble of beard that needs to be shaved off. He sees all that in the mirror and immediately forgets what he just saw. Goes to work, and his boss says, you look terrible. Your hair's all messed up. Your face is dirty. You didn't even shave today. And the man says, oh, I forgot what I saw in the mirror. Now, when we look into God's word, we see things in our lives that need to be cleansed. We see things in our lives that need to be changed. We see things that need to be corrected. But we need to remember what we saw. We can't just walk away from the Bible and forget what God told us. And one of the key ways to remember what we saw in the mirror of God's word is meditating, to bring it to mind, to take what you saw and take it with you, to chew on it throughout the day, to chew on it over and over again. Now, let's go back to where we started in Joshua chapter 1. And verse 8 again. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Now notice the goal of meditating. Why do we meditate anyway? That thou mayest observe to do. That's what it's all about. I'm thinking on God's word with the one goal in mind that I better do it. I better be a doer of the word. I better be obedient to what God has told me to do. And I'm going to think about it and ponder it and chew on it. And my whole purpose in all that is that thou mayest do, observe to do, according to all that is written therein. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.